Jesus Christ, welcome. We are so glad to see each and every one of you here. We are gathered here in this place because we serve a risen God, a God that has shown up and is with us in this room in the form of the Holy Spirit here today. We are here to worship and praise our God, so hear these words from Psalm 150. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary and praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power and praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Before we stand up and praise God, why don't we just take a few minutes, say hi to the people around you, however you're comfortable doing that, and then we'll worship.
We see you, we find strength. give a thousand tongues to lift one cry. Then from north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Where the whole earth echoing His eminence, His name would burst from sea and sky, from rivers to the mountain tops, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified, let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. When every creature finds its inmost melody, and every human heart is native cry, oh, in what enraptured hymn of praise we sing, Christ be magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified, let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Stand strong and worship You, and if it puts me in the fire, I'll know You're there too. I won't be for my feelings, I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, I'll be crucified with You. This death is just a doorway into resurrection life. If I join You in Your sufferings, then I'll join You when You rise. When You return to glory, all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing, and my song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified, let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified, let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me.
Nothing worth more
will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
You may be seated.
formed in our sanctuary 2 weeks from tomorrow are going to be hundreds of kids all learning about God through science. And so we have a little video that we're going to show you, just different ways in which you can help and just our call for help. So we'll see. If you've never experienced it, it is pure chaos and beauty all at the same time. And so it takes a village, and so we're just calling on our village. We need a whole bunch of volunteers to make this thing possible. It's a pretty awesome experience, and so you can sign up on our website or back at the Welcome Center after church. And so just head to the website and just look for different ways you can help out and volunteer. Couple other announcements. We just, after church today, we have a couple different things for you to enjoy if you'd like. The first is going to be, we're going to talk about our, we just came out with our budget. So if anyone has any questions about our budget or any concerns or anything like that, Nate Verbeek will be in the cafe after church today, and so you can meet with him and share any of your questions, or you can drill him with your concerns, whatever you need to do. That'll be in the cafe, so grab a cup of coffee and a cookie and head over there. And then anyone who's interested in hearing about the Israel trip that Alicia and I were just on, last week said we were going to be in the cafe, this week says we'll be in the basement, we'll actually be in the gym. And so so we thought that might work out a little bit better. So grab a cookie, grab a coffee, and then just kind of hang out in there if you'd like to. We'll just kind of talk about our trip. We're going to try to keep about a half hour or so. So that is going on. Along with CSI, we have our community outreach week. That is where we take all the teenagers and they help out with CSI in the morning, and then we go out and volunteer in the afternoon. They spend the night. That is also pure chaos and also very, very cool. And so so that is coming up. Different ways which you can help. We do need some adult volunteers to help out with the work sites and then also food. Apparently they go through lots and lots of food. And so we have some donation tags that are over by the church mailboxes. If you are willing to grab a tag, grab that food, and just drop it off at church here in the next couple of weeks, that would just be a huge help and a great way for us to keep the cost down for students. So with that, we're going to go before prayer. But before we do that, we also want to let you know that we have a newest member of West End Church. Chad and Hannah Vanderwilp had a baby boy this weekend. His name is Peter Edwin, and so we are excited for them. Mom and baby are doing great. So with that, let's go before God in prayer. Lord, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to come. And yet, God, we recognize that here in this moment that the Holy Spirit is here and it is alive. And so we just pray that we will open up our hearts to more of you. It's your presence, Lord, that our heart longs for. So fill this place and fill our hearts with more of you. And here in this day, may our hearts be alive in the same way as it was 2,000 years ago when your Spirit came down in tongues of fire on your believers. God, we pray we can live with more awareness of you in our lives. We pray that we can live more boldly because of you in our lives. So God, we pray now boldly. We start by saying thank you. We give you praise for the birth of little Peter Vanderwilp. We're so grateful that everything went smooth for Chad and Hannah. And we just pray for that family as they continue to grow and just be with them in these days of lack of sleep. And in these moments where they just celebrate the goodness of this baby and your blessing in their lives. God, we also pray boldly that you'll be with Dave and Linda Vanderscoff and their son Jameson as Linda lost her dad this past week. God, losing a loved one is a sting that just stays with us. And no matter how right the situation seems, we also know there's still so much pain in that. So God, we just ask that you'll be with their family here today. Overwhelm them with your presence and give them a peace that surpasses understanding. God, we also pray boldly for Dave Coates and just pray that you'll be with him as he struggles and as he finds himself in a different spot. And we just ask that you'll grant him healing. And we pray that in your name, the name of Jesus Christ. God, we pray for our church. We pray for Dan Cruzy and the members of our church and the people that are on their trip to Turkey. God, may you just open up Scripture and just deepen their faith and keep them safe every step of their journey. Return them home safely. And God, we pray that you'll be with each and every one of us here. May we walk out of this church this week and step into mission. May we live our lives fully aware of you and where you're leading. May we bring your love everywhere we go. And God, all this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I brought with me today a cupcake that took a lot of effort to make sure my girls didn't eat it. It's a fancy cupcake. Because today we got to celebrate a birthday. It is Dick Hayes' birthday. Happy birthday, Dick. But in addition to Dick's birthday, today is Pentecost. This is widely considered the birthday of the modern Christian church. Because what we learn is that when the Gospels come to an end and the book of Acts begins, we're told that there are about 120 believers. And they're huddled in Jerusalem. And then the Holy Spirit comes down in such a powerful way that it fills these believers in such a way that by the time the book of Acts comes to an end, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of believers spread across the entire known world. And all of this happens over the course of only 30 years. Isn't that remarkable? What's even more remarkable is that that type of power is still possible today. That type of power, that same spirit is in this place right here and right now. That same spirit is inside each and every one of us. And it's very possible to have that type of movement in our world here and now. That's remarkable. And what we're going to learn today is that the very presence of God pushes us into the mission of God. So turn with me in Acts chapter 2, where we're going to read about this remarkable story. Got chocolate in my hand. We're going to skip around a little bit. So follow close. Here we go. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. It's on page 1056 of your Bibles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, the sound of a violent wind, it's like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house that they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own language?" Skip down to verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. "These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken about in the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all his people." Skip down with me to verse 22. "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to God by you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you and through him, as you yourself know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge for you, with the help of wicked men. He was put to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Skip ahead to verse 36. "Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off and all whom the Lord your God will call.' With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourself from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we open up your scripture here today, may your spirit just be among us. May your spirit give the words. May your spirit open our hearts to what you have to say to us today. Amen. To help us get a little bit of context to the story, I'm going to first start about where this happened, and then we're going to talk about when this happened, and then we're going to wrap it up by talking about what in the world just happened. All right? So to help us do that, our passage today starts off with this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and then suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. At first glance, you read this, and it just seems like a small, private event, doesn't it? I mean, I kind of grew up, and I just kind of just had this vision of 12 disciples sitting in an upper room, maybe with a Mary or two, kind of sitting there, and all of a sudden, this Holy Spirit shows up and fills them. And last year, I heard a teaching from Dan Cruzy that kind of changed my perspective on that. Because here's what we know. We know that the book of Acts chapter 1 starts and it tells us there are 120 believers in Christ. And they're gathered together in Jerusalem. The end of Luke, the Gospel of Luke ends up with these words right here. Said that they worshipped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually in the temple praising God. This group of people, this group of believers spent their days morning and night at the temple of God. So, let's take a look at the temple. Because I was there. This right here is the southern wall of the temple. This is our group standing right there on the steps. And what we learned when we were over in Israel is that when we talk about the Holy Land, they just call it the land. When we talk about Mount Sinai, they just say the mountain. And when we talk about the temple, they simply say the house. And we also know that this story occurred at a place where there were Jews from every nation under heaven. This occurred in a place where there are thousands of people from lots of different nations. We did not read verses 9 through 11 because there are a lot of big words in there, as they list 15 different languages in which people started talking, that the disciples started talking and sharing. So envision this with me. Not a small group in a small room, but 120 believers in Christ praising God in the temple. And all of a sudden, there's this violent wind that fills the entire temple area. And then fire touches tongues of fire land on people and they start speaking the languages of 15 different nations in a way that they can completely understand. And when it's all said and done, we're told that 3,000 people were added to the number that day. 3,000 people were baptized. To do this, we need a crowd. So, and the other question I have, if you're going to have a baptism with 3,000 people in the middle of a desert where there's no water, where do you get water for this many baptisms? Let's take that picture that we had before. Let's step back a little bit. The place that we were standing is on the upper left-hand corner. That's the steps to the southern entrance. As you pull back from that, archaeologists have uncovered dozens and dozens of mikvahs. Mikvahs are the spiritual ritual bath that the Jews would do. Picture a small stone pool or a bath. They would walk down a couple steps, submerge themselves in the water, and they would walk out the other side, and this is how they became pure before they walked into the temple. We have dozens of these just right here on the southern wall. These were likely the places where all these baptisms could occur. So even though it can be easily interpreted that this whole thing occurred at a small private event, it is more likely that this was a large public display, likely right here at the temple. So if this is where it took place, let's now talk about when it took place. Verse 1 started off by saying, when the day of Pentecost came. Now, when we think of the day of Pentecost, we think of this story right here in Acts 2, don't we? This is the day where the Holy Spirit showed up on the disciples in tongues of fire. This is what we think of when we think of Pentecost. What we need to realize is that Pentecost, at this point, had been celebrated for about 1,000 years. God-fearing Jews would celebrate this event every single year for about 1,000 years. Because Pentecost to them was the day that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. We use the word Pentecost. Pentecost in Greek means 50 days. The Jews in Hebrew use the word Shavuot. Say with me, Shavuot. Love it. Shavuot means the festival of the weeks, right? Which is a weird name, isn't it? If you're going to have a festival, it should be festival of arts, right? Like we have. But we have festival of the weeks. We get this because God gave Moses the commandment that said, count off 50 days up to the day after the seventh Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. So we have Pentecost, 50 days. What we have is 50 days. It started off with Passover. Remember Egypt? The Israelites were in Egypt. The day of Passover came and they were able to leave Egypt. So they left Egypt. They wandered in the desert for 40 days, got to the Mount Sinai. They prepared themselves. Moses went up, and it is believed on day 50 is when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. God tells them to celebrate the Festival of Weeks. Weeks is simply 7 weeks. We have Passover, 7 weeks, a full week of weeks, and then day 50, we have Pentecost. This is why we have the Festival of Weeks. So a little bit about this festival. Because it occurred at the beginning of the wheat festival, it was a celebration. Right? This is a day that we're going to celebrate and remember that God was present. And the only reason we have grain and we can make bread is because God provided it. So to celebrate this festival, it occurred in two parts. The first is the presence of God. We remember that God provided this. We remember that God showed up and gave us this crop and gave us this wheat. So to offer our thanks, the Israelites would bring lots and lots of gifts. They were required to sacrifice 7 lambs, 2 rams, and a bull. And interestingly, they also had to take 2 loaves of bread with them. And these were done as a wave offering to God. It's one of the few times we see an offering of leavened bread with yeast being used. Bread to recognize the wheat harvest. They used two loaves to represent the two tablets that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai after he received the commandments. So the first part of this whole festival was all about the presence of God, remembering God. The second part of this was where we receive the laws of gleaning. Leviticus tells us this is the festival where we get the laws of gleaning. It says that when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of the harvest, but leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. This is the festival where God says, we're going to thank God and remember his presence, but we're also going to remember the poor and those who don't have enough. Right? We have the presence of God. We have the mission of God. And to celebrate this, they would gather all kinds of people together. They would make their sacrifices. They would have a big feast. They would celebrate. They would look around. They would look for people that didn't have family or friends, and they would invite them to the dinner table. I'm pretty convinced if we throw football in this, we have Thanksgiving. Are you with me? Right? This is a big celebration where we're thanking God. And on this, as part of this festival, they would do three readings. The first reading was from Exodus 19 and 20. Exodus 19 and 20 is the story of Moses receiving the Ten Commandments. The second part of this was Ezekiel 1 and 2, which is this powerful vision that Ezekiel has where God shows up in wind and in fire. And then they would read the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, for those who are familiar with it, involves two women down on their luck, lost and alone, and they find redemption when they're gleaning in the field of a man named Boaz. They find redemption in a little town called Bethlehem. So on this festival, they would remember that they have all these blessings from God and that they were called to care for others. They have this blessing for God in order so that they can be a blessing for others. This is a whole festival dedicated to this idea that we have the presence of God that provides, and we also have the mission of God that we need to do. This is when this whole thing occurs. So it occurs at the temple likely, and then we have this festival is when it happens. So let's talk about what in the world happened. In our story today, God the Holy Spirit descends on a group of believers standing on a mountain. We know that it happened at 9 o'clock in the morning. This is the time of the morning sacrifices for the Jews. All right, so we know at 9 o'clock in the morning, all the Jews come to make their sacrifice in the morning. And as a result, the temple is going to be extremely busy at this time. The sacrificer started off with a sounding of a ram's horn, a trumpet, if you would. And as they did this, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit showed up. There was a wind, a violent wind that filled up this whole place. This word wind that we have is actually pronounced pneuma. Can you say pneuma? This is the same word that you're going to find in that vision in Ezekiel. Ezekiel had this vision of dry bones, and all of a sudden the wind of God, the spirit of God, the breath of God enters into these bones and they come to life. So we have the trumpets blaring, we have the wind showing up, and we have fire. Fire is used throughout the Old Testament as an image of God's presence. Everywhere the people went, they had they wandered through the desert, and they were led by fire and they were led by smoke. Fire is the image and the presence of God. So on this story here in Acts 2, we have trumpets, we have fire, and we have this violent wind. And all this stuff would have been very familiar to a group of Jews who every year of their life read the story of Exodus 19 and 20, where God descended on the mountain to give Moses the Ten Commandments. to understand what happens in Acts 2, we need to step back and recognize what happened in Exodus 19 and 20. Because what we see here is very much a reenactment of what happened then. Those Jews standing on that temple when the Holy Spirit arrives would have seen all this stuff, and they would have recognized that back in the Old Testament, where God showed up on Mount Sinai to give the Ten Commandments, the presence of God descended on the mountain. There was violent shaking and earthquakes, the thunder and lightning, and there was trumpets, and there was fire. So when all this stuff starts happening in Acts chapter 2, this would start ringing a bell with the people of God. They knew back then something significant happened, and they know here and now in Acts chapter 2 that something significant is happening again. Back then, God took and inscribed his law on tablets. We're told in the book of Hebrews that in Acts chapter 2, God inscribes his law on the hearts of his people through the presence of his Holy Spirit. What we're seeing in Acts chapter 2 is something that was so clearly seen back in Exodus 19 and 20. God showed up in such a powerful way back at the Old Testament at Mount Sinai that left people amazed. God showed up in such a powerful way in Acts chapter 2 that left them amazed as well. My question for you today is, do you remember how the story in Exodus ended? Do you remember what happened when Moses walked down that mountain? What did he see? A golden calf. He comes down from meeting God, getting the law of God. He walks down and he sees all the people worshiping a golden calf that they had created. Do you remember how many people died as a result of that and a result of God's judgment? We're told that 3,000 people died on that day. In this story, we're told how many people were baptized. 3,000. We have two different stories with two completely different endings. We have two different stories where God's judgment could have easily been in place. We're told this. So you have a group of believers that know how the story in Exodus ends. They see what's going on. They recognize the story, and then they stand there, and Acts chapter 2 tells us they are amazed and perplexed, and they ask one another, what does this mean? And then Peter gives up, and he gives this incredible speech. Peter starts off by letting them know this is a prophecy that we see in the book of Joel, a prophecy where God's going to send out his Holy Spirit on his believers. And then he tells them that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, and you killed him. Look at this verse. It says, the God has made this Jesus, whom you executed, both Lord and Messiah. If you are a God-fearing Jew standing on the steps, recognizing that this is the story that happened back when God gave people the Ten Commandments, and you know that God's judgment killed 3,000 people there for worshiping a calf, what do you think God's going to do now that we just killed his one and only son? No wonder they were scared. No wonder they were cut to the heart. The people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said, brothers, what shall we do? This is the moment where they just like have the light bulb go off, and they're like, oh my, what have we done? The first story, we have people that messed up and 3,000 people lost their lives. This story, we have people realizing they messed up, repented, and 3,000 people were saved. We have two different stories with two completely different endings. And the story and the ending is different, not just because the people responded with repentance, but because of what we read in verses 24 and verse 32. God raised him from the dead, is what Peter says. You killed him, but God raised him from the dead. He then says, God raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this. We've seen him. You've seen him. You've talked to people who have seen him. The stories that we're listening to, one ends in death, one ends in repentance and baptism and grace, because the resurrection changes everything. This is what we know and believe as followers of Christ, isn't it? The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. Just like the story that we're reading here today, our lives are different because Jesus rose from the dead, and the grace we find in him changes everything. God wants us to see the story of his grace in our lives. And we all could use a little more grace, couldn't we? The simple truth is that I've talked to too many people who have stepped into this place, they look around, and somehow they feel like they can never belong here. That somehow we think that we're not as good as the people that are sitting in the pews next to us. Some of you are so good at offering grace to other people, but you struggle to offer grace to your own self. Have you ever felt like that you weren't good enough? Have you ever felt like that you just struggle too much? Have you ever felt like that you just weren't worthy enough? If you have, I just want to say, welcome. That perfectly describes each and every one of us here, including me. Every single one of us has a story. We all have junk. Every single one of us is here because we found the grace in Jesus Christ. So be sure to give yourself grace. Know that God loves you and accepts you. And just like this story, our lives are different because Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection changes everything, including us. This story in Acts 2 occurs at a festival where people of God are called to remember the blessing of God seen in the bread and the wheat. We remember the blessing of God. And as a result of the blessing of God, this festival tells us we need to go out and love others. We have the blessing of God to go do the mission of God. We have God showing up and giving us his presence so that we can step out and love others, care for the poor, and show others Christ's love. We have the presence of God and the mission of God. And we see this so clearly in the story we read today. The presence of God fell on all the believers that were gathered there that day. The Holy Spirit sent those people, those believers, out on a mission. The presence of God sent those believers out onto a mission. They each did their part and shared the story of Jesus and the love of Jesus in a way that deeply impacted those around them. And as a result, the book of Acts ends with thousands and thousands of believers all across the world. The simple truth is that same Spirit is here in this room here today. That same Spirit sends us out on mission. Not just a few select leaders, but each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit just didn't come on a few select leaders. It came on everybody who was baptized that day. Every single one of them were sent out on mission. The Holy Spirit has given each and every one of us a mission too. We're called to go out and represent his character and represent his love wherever we are and wherever we go. What would it look like if we did that? What would it look like for you to go to work or school, which is now done? What would it look like for you to go into summer and bring the grace of God and the love of God and show that and speak of that wherever you go? What would it look like to show the love of God in a language that others understand in a way that deeply impacts their life? The Spirit of God is just as alive today as it was in this story. Do you feel it? It's calling us into a life that is defined by grace and defined by God's mission. We want this church to be defined by God's grace and by God's mission. We want every one of you to be defined by God's Spirit of grace and His mission. And we need to give that Spirit greater control of our lives. And if I'm honest, I struggle with this. I mean, I believe in God, and I am deeply in love with Jesus Christ. But I don't always know what to do with the Spirit. I see what the Spirit did with the disciples. The disciples were filled with the Spirit. They did miracles. They spoke boldly, and they changed the world. And I know that same Spirit lives inside of me, but I don't feel like I live and do the things that the disciples. How do I do that? The simple truth is, the idea of giving the Spirit full control of my life is, I mean, that would be awesome and terrifying at the same time, wouldn't it? I'm probably not the only one who feels this way. So the question I want to just end with today is, how do we do this? How do we live in the Spirit in the same way that those early believers did? How do we live in the Spirit? I mean, the Spirit came down to a group of believers about this same size of the people here gathered in this room here today. Those people went out and loved in such a way that it just deeply impacted not just their community, but their world. How do we do that? How do we become believers filled with the Spirit in that same way? I guess where I want to start is we need to pray more boldly. This whole story was not the result of a very cool speech given by Peter. This whole story started because there was a group of people that were gathered together to pray. It started in a prayer meeting. That's probably where we need to start too. What would it look like for us to pray more boldly? What would it look like for you and me to pray more boldly? Second thing we need to do is that we need to speak more boldly, which is also scary. There are conversations that we probably need to have with others in our lives, people that we love, that are hard and scary. But the Holy Spirit enables us to step into conversations that are awkward or hard and have those conversations that need to have. We need to speak more boldly. What are the conversations and what are the things that we need to share with others that we keep putting off that we need to step into? So we need to pray boldly and we need to speak boldly and finally we need to love boldly. Who are the people in your life that need to feel the presence of God in their lives here today in a special way? Who are the people in your life who have drifted from the faith? Who are the people that you know that are going through a difficult time? Who are the people that just need to feel the grace and love of God? And let's do that in a bold way. We need to love more boldly. We need to show grace. 2,000 years ago, the Spirit of God showed up and filled a group of believers. Presence in their life equipped them to go out and do the mission of God. And that whole thing changed the world as we know it. 1,000 years before that, believers used 2 loaves of bread to remind them of the presence of God and how they're supposed to love others as the mission of God. Today, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're reminded of those same things here today as we partake in communion. We use bread to remind us of the presence of God, a body that was broken for us. And we use wine to remind us of the mission of God, a God whose love was so deep that He went all the way to the cross, that He loved with all His heart, with all His mind, and all His strength, and gave His life in mission out of love for us. 3,000 years ago, they used bread to represent the presence and the love of God. Today, we're going to use bread and wine once again to represent many of these same things. Join me in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just are reminded that you are alive. May your spirit burn deeply inside each and every one of us. May we recognize that you have filled us and that you have blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others. And God, we are seeing this so clearly right here in the Lord's Supper. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the way that you poured out your love for us. And God, today, may we feel the depth of your love and your grace in our hearts today. In this we pray. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord has prepared his table for all who love him and trust him alone for their salvation. All who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, and desire to live in obedience to him as their Lord, are now welcome to join us with gladness at the table of the Lord. At the Last Supper, the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples, he took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. This is my presence that has been here with you, that is now broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, and after the supper, he said, "This cup is the new covenant I give you, a law that is no longer in stone, but a law that is now inscribed in your heart through my sacrifice and my love. Do this all in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Join me in prayer. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so this bread and this cup may be for us as the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and in love. May you gather your whole church and gather us into your glory of your kingdom. Amen.
Holy, thou art
O God, take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of our sins. Take, drink, remember and believe that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let's pray. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with your spiritual food and the sacraments of his body and his blood. Thank you, God, for the gift of your presence. May you equip us for your mission. Send us now into the world into peace and grant us strength and courage to love and to serve you with gladness and a singleness of heart. We pray all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise for the blessing. Friends, as we leave this place, we step out into a mission to try to figure out a way to love the people of this world in a language that they understand. As you leave here today, remember that we do that fully engulfed with the very presence of God in us. As you step out into that mission, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord turn his face towards you, be gracious to you, and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen, and go in his peace.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Oh. washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us, we welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, are washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us, we welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Ending.
Hosanna.